The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, author and neurosurgeon Dr. Ben Carson discusses some solutions to the moral, social, and economic problems America is facing.
Maybe what we need to do is just get rid of all the people in Washington and bring some farmers in and some plumbers and some people.
How do we improve our lives, our communities, our nation, our world? Next.
I'll be honest, I don't think I've ever been more excited to have a guest than we have all this week, Dr. Ben Carson. I'm James Robison, welcoming you to Life Today, and I promise you, you are going to get a whole lot of life today and all week as we talk to this wonderful, gifted neurosurgeon who has wisdom for which we're grateful. If you've not read and don't ask for it every week, I hope you'll begin now, jamesrobison.net. I don't have a middle end, so you spell it right and go there. But ask for my commentary to be sent. It comes every Friday morning, and I touch on issues. You can go to jamesrobison.net and scroll back through the columns and read about this breath of fresh air, because that is precisely what he is. And then encourage your friends to read the commentaries, all of them, because I'm touching the issues most of us are concerned about, I believe God's concerned about. Are we going to join the continuing discussion that Betty and I had with a great neurosurgeon and great, bright breath of fresh air, wonderful man, Dr. Ben Carson. Let me just ask you some questions about what I believe and what I say, and you feel free to either expand or correct what I say. I don't believe you provide any meaningful assistance without a compassion connection. I don't think an institution or a mere organization throws money at a problem without someone who sincerely cares about that which is being addressed. That's why addressing these problems, the nearer it is to the local community, the nearer it is to the heart and the family. Exactly. Nobody can take care of our families better than we can. Exactly. Nobody can assist better. We may seek counsel, seek help, and we may learn. But no one knows more about the needs. You know, you were talking about a while ago about we don't have people starving to death. We're the only planet nation on the planet where our poor people, many of them are obese. Right. And it isn't because they got a bloated stomach. They're full.
It isn't because they have a gland problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they may have a gland problem. It's a salivary gland.
That's exactly right. If we're going to see the answer come, we're going to have to come together on our knees, but stand on our feet and stand for truth and principles. And this business of saying to you as a Christian, don't talk about national issues, or to a pastor, don't address the cultural issues that are totally biblical, totally moral, that have now been dragged ruthlessly and foolishly in the political arena to help divide us. And the few who believe those minor positions and basically those which go against the Bible are driving the culture.
Exactly.
It's amazing because we sit back, we go to church and sing, we go to church and listen to messages, but we don't go out and make a difference because it's like no difference has been made in us.
Yes.
There's been a difference made in the two of us. There's something not miserably wrong with us. I think there's something wonderfully right with us.
Absolutely.
And we want to share that with everybody. It's not like we want to sit on it and keep it. We want everyone to have the opportunity to be blessed, and that's what our freedom has offered to everyone, and we're in the process of losing it.
And our country is supposed to be for, of, and by the people. Mm-hmm. Not for, of, and by the government. And we have all of these economic geniuses who say, well, the reason you don't understand why spending more money will get us out of this is because you're just too stupid. You see, we are the great, wonderful Oz. We know how it works. And yet, have they gotten us out of anything?
No.
Of course not. You know, common sense. Maybe what we need to do is just get rid of all the people in Washington and bring some farmers in and some plumbers and some people. You know, in fact, that's the way it was supposed to be in the beginning. We were supposed to have a representative government with people from all walks of life so that all the interests could be placed on the table. Instead, what we have is all the special interests placed on the table. In fact, that has become the fourth branch of government, special interests, and it's more powerful than all the others. And it used to be a sacrificial life. When people went to Washington, they were sacrificing to do so. They didn't have fat salaries, they didn't have a lot of benefits, and you didn't really have to worry about them making it into a lifetime ambition. They were happy to serve and to come back, and then somebody else went and served. Mm-hmm. And that way, you stay close to the needs of the people. When you get people who are lifetime politicians, they get further and further away mm-hmm. from what is important to the populace. Absolutely. They begin to develop this elitist attitude that they know what's best. The people don't know what's best. You know, it's like with the healthcare mandate. The majority of people didn't want it. We don't care what you want. You'll like it. As Nancy Pelosi said, you got to pass it to see what's in it, you know? Come on. You know, I mean, is that an elitist attitude?
Oh, boy.
Or as opposed to what and who do we represent? And that's what people have to remember. And, you know, maybe we need another constitutional convention. Maybe we need to change the way we do things. Maybe we shouldn't, you know, elect people every 2 years so that they spend 60% of their time running for office. You know, maybe we should revisit the whole idea of lifetime appointments for federal judges, because at the time when we put that in place, the average age of death was 47, you know, so it really didn't matter. But now, you know, people live a whole lot longer than that. You know, there's, you know, we have not changed with the times. When we put Social Security into effect, you know, the average person did not live, you know, long enough to really collect. And, you know, it wasn't supposed to be the end all for your retirement.
Right.
All of these things have been distorted and migrated and changed into entitlement programs that create the wrong kind of mentality in people. And we need a national awakening on these things. And we need honest leaders who can explain these things to people rather than people who are simply interested in perpetuating their party and their power.
One of the most politically incorrect things you said, more than once.
Among the many.
But the one that got a lot of attention was at the prayer breakfast when you implied, how in the world could you, in this nation of such brilliance running Washington, how could you say everyone ought to have skin in the game, basically a pony in the race, a dog in the show, they ought to have a vested interest, and you actually implied that if it's important, that everybody ought to participate in the support of that which is necessary. The Wounded Warriors program is a great example of people who have wealth and who have very little means on fixed income. They're all supporting it.
Right.
Because they said, this is something that's lacking. Let's step up to the plate.
Exactly.
Anytime you have a crisis, the people go, whether it's Katrina or Sandy, and the government hadn't done a good job with either one of them, people are going to do the only thing that really works. As much as you complain and blame Pharaoh, he's not the answer. Mm-hmm. He can assist, he can help, but he's not the answer. And what we've got happening with what you said is a reaction that you said God is fair. We're always talking about what's fair.
Right.
It would seem God the Father Creator would know what's fair. You said that He made it clear that we all start at a point,
right,
a tithe, 10%. He didn't say those of you who have a lot give this. He said everybody give it. In other words, coming. Hey, by the way, He didn't say you're limited to that. You can
right.
do you can do what these men reference. You reference one. Give away half your income or more.
Right.
That's one. That's called compassion and love and thinking about somebody besides yourself,
exactly,
which all these wicked rich people, some of whom do.
Yes.
It's real easy to, you know, really hate the greedy and the Scrooges and the stingy. And now that we just, anybody's got money, that's who you got to be.
Right.
You've been characterized. And this has got to change. But you actually implied that everybody ought to carry the load. Now, we're talking about in the need to cut, which we don't still want to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
We keep talking about more revenue.
Right.
You and I know there's enough wealth in America. There's enough wealth for the few. They just go pay the debt. If you've got a brain in your head, if you understand one thing in the Proverbs, the worst place you could put your money would be to retire the federal debt we've got right now and leave them with a license to continue mismanaging the means of the people.
Absolutely.
And wasting the money of the people and not succeeding in sustaining unsustainable, proven to fail programs.
Right.
If you're a smart rich man, you don't want them to have it, right?
Correct.
But if it's worth having, and at any point we have the wars, I've contended all along, those were our wars. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the Hawks' wars. That wasn't the rich people's war. That's our war. We should be thinking about how do we pay for the war. You agree with that? Mm-hmm. There's got to be a way we could come together and we the people support right. what we the people must do to protect freedom.
Yes.
So you said everybody ought to have responsibility. How could you ask people don't have much to give a little bit?
Well, you know, again, I go back to what God said, proportionality. If you have a gazillion dollars, you're going to pay a whole lot into the pot. And if you have very little, you're going to put very little in the pot. But you do have skin in the game. Why is that such an important concept? Because if everybody has skin in the game, it forces the government to be responsible.
To all the people.
To all the people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's easy when you can say, oh, I'm just going to raise it on this 1% or this 2% or this 5%. And you 95%, don't worry. We'll take care of you. In fact, why don't you vote for me to raise it more on them? You know, I mean, come on. You know, it's a pretty obvious ploy, what's going on. And we need to really start thinking about what is truly fair. You know, think about, you know, the fact that we have the highest corporate tax rates in the world. And we sit there and we blame corporations for going somewhere else. We need to understand something very basic here. Companies are formed to make money.
And pay people.
They're not formed to be social welfare organizations. Okay, so you need to understand that first. If you think that the purpose of the company is a social welfare organization, then you're probably a socialist. Okay, so you need to understand a little bit about how capitalism works. And what we need to do is be competitive with the world. Everybody else has lowered their rates so that they could attract our business. We shouldn't be the last ones to say, oh, is that what's going on? You know, we should be the first ones to understand what's going on. Lower our rates, bring our people back, bring those businesses back,
right.
bring all that money back that's being hidden so that it can explode our economy and create jobs for people. Why are we so mystified that jobs are so stagnant? It's because we have policies that stagnate jobs. You know, this is not rocket scientists. That you don't need to be a rocket scientist to understand this is very plain common sense. And I think that's the reason that so many people have resonated with what I said at the prayer breakfast. Just plain common sense. And we don't seem to have anybody who represents that anymore. And we got to do it. And it's and I got to tell you, unfortunately, this is not a Democrat or Republican mm-hmm. problem. Mm-hmm. This is across the board. And so, you know, this is not a partisan statement. The fact of the matter is we have got to begin to use those brains that God gave us to do simple things like we would do in our household. You know, when it comes to this whole sequestration deal, you know, the obvious answer is you cut everything proportionately.
Absolutely.
Across the board.
Absolutely.
Because the leaders of every department know where the fat is, and they will cut the fat out first.
That's right.
That's all you have to do.
If they think, they will, if they're thinkers.
But, you know, this, you know, we can't cut 2%. The world's going to come to an end. You know, come on. I don't think even the stupidest person believes that.
If we're going to revamp the tax system, and it needs to be revamped. Even Charlie Rangel said, and we quoted it in Indivisible, the book Jay Richards, a Catholic and a Protestant, right. we together wrote, which is just another version of America the Beautiful. Yeah. We've just basically written the same, you know, basic truth. Rangel said, this tax system's too damn complicated.
It is.
It's got to be one done over. Now, that's a known liberal saying that. It is. It needs to be redone, and it needs to be where everybody has got a vested interest in it. Period. There may be some level at which we say, well, that doesn't count. That's up to the wisdom of people. But God said everybody ought to have a part, and I believe God knows what he's talking about. Now, the reaction to what you do, I read one of your breakdowns on one of the more liberal let's say, websites, but they actually quoted you very reliably. I was very proud that they actually said what you said, which that's amazing.
That is amazing.
I used to tell the New York Times and other newspapers, I said, you know, I really like what I say. I'll pay you to print it. Why is it when you write what I say, I don't like it? I don't even recognize it. But listen to the response to truth. He is everything that Obama's not. Barack Obama is the president of the United States, and he was voted in twice by the American people. Who is this idiot, Ben Carson, again, a lapdog for the teabagging nut job? Laugh out loud. Here's another one. This guy's nothing more than a Judas who already got his 30 pieces of silver to sell the American people out. The next one, with all due respect, Dr. Carson, please shut up. You're nothing more than a token. Did you hear that? Shut up. You're nothing more than a token. How can you respect a party of people that hate others that look like you? I wish you would throw another name at you that belonged to a prominent black person in the GOPP, but there really aren't any, are there? Oh, yes, dust off Alfred E. Newman's book and on, just criticizing everybody. You get the X-ray, you big dummy.
Now, you can see how hateful these people are.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the ones who talk about other people being intolerant. They are just that epitome of hatred.
You know that Jay Richards and I, when we wrote the book, Indivisible, Restoring Faith, Family, and Freedom, and really these are two just incredible parallel pictures. It was posted on Huffington Post, and this became the New York Times bestseller the first week out, and it was amazing what happened. But we immediately, and I got to get this, in like 24 hours, 1,200 comments posted immediately, every single one of them against the truth that was shared. Now, here's the beauty. If America, you can go back, go way back first of the year, February, when it came out, Huffington Post, and just read what they said about it. Every one of them, if you read what they said, you think, how on this earth can the American people not recognize where the absolute foolishness is, where the animosity and destructive hostility is, and really the lack of intellectual acumen? It's just not there.
Yeah.
That's what they look like. That's what this looks like. This
of
is not.
So.
These aren't bright. Professing to be wise.
Professing they become fools.
Absolutely. And they prove it when you read what they say.
Right.
Betty, you have been so sweet. You're so supportive. She said, I'd rather sit in the audience with Candace. She asked me if she could. You and I watched this man together. We felt like we were seeing an answer to the prayers of many people. You and I on Life Today, every week, ask people not only to ask for prayer to be answered, but seek to be an answer to prayer. We believe he's an answer to prayer. We've been encouraging people to be an answer to Jesus' prayers, that we be one with the Father and one another. And how do you feel, and what do you feel when you listen to this man? What's going on inside
of
you?
Well, I'm grateful to God that we have someone like this standing up in love, and that's what's so beautiful about it. Everything you're saying is evident that it's coming out of love for people and your love for God.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the way we all need to present what we believe inside of us is to be truth from God.
Absolutely.
In love, not hatred, not lashing out.
Right.
That's the only way that it will be effective, is if we present it in love. But we also have to realize the tendency, I think, is just like we see someone like this, and we say, oh, yeah, that's our man. Let's go. I mean, let's do it. Let him speak for us. No, that's not what God wants. That's not what we need for our country. All of us need to be strong. The strength we see in him, the resolve we see in him, the courage we see in him,
absolutely,
the love we see in him needs to be in us to do what we have been called to do. We not only need to get behind people like this, we need to become like this in our hearts.
Amen.
So that we, where we are, in your neighborhood, in your home, in your community, can be as strong as God put in us. Because this is what God wants for all of us.
Amen.
You agree with that? I do, wholeheartedly. Oh boy, I tell you what, Betty, she is such a blessing. And you have no idea what a battle she fights, really wondering sometimes, no matter how much I tell her, no matter how much people tell her, that she's so, so special and so valuable. And really and truly, she's so much like many of you, doesn't realize all that's there to let that river flow freely. And just thank God for 50 years I've been married to Betty. What a joy. And 50 years we've been in ministry, and we're celebrating both our marriage, but also the ministry. And this summer, the 18th through the 20th of July, Betty will be there. We'll both be there. We want to meet you. Come from all over the world and be there, but you've got to register. Go to lifetoday.org and register. We'll feed you there if you'd like to eat there with us all together. And if not, just make the registration and a little, I think it's a $10 registration just to register. We've got to know you're coming. You're serious about it because seating is limited. So you need to go online now and make reservations. Dr. Ben Carson's going to be speaking. You see all the other speakers' faces and names there on the screen. Don't miss it, but you need to go online and register. And by the way, if you're not reading the commentary, jamesrobison.net every week, I wrote about the breath of fresh air. Go back to it and read what we wrote about Dr. Carson the first time we met him and heard him. You don't want to miss that, okay? Now let me show you something that everyone loves to do. And by the way, if you'd like to have Dr. Carson's book, just respond to what we're about to show you and ask for it because we want to bless you. But I want to show you a beautiful opportunity to transform and save lives and give a hope-filled future to those who have no future without the love of God expressed through us. You watch this closely. You're going to be anxious to be a part of extending the hands of God.
The beating of a heart. You can hear it. You can feel it. It's not often that you can see it. Meet Dominga and her two sisters. They represent countless numbers of children all across the continent of Africa. These three young girls show the early signs of severe malnutrition. Hair turning orange, their skin deteriorating, bodies weak, at times lethargic. Her frame so frail, you can easily see Dominga's tender little heart doing all it can, fighting, pumping, to keep her alive. Dominga may be unaware that malnutrition is dragging her to death's door, but the beating of her heart counts down the days she may have left. If Dominga doesn't get enough food soon, her heart may be silenced. The solution is simple. Mission feeding saves lives.
Yes, it does. And the only way that we can keep those little hearts beating and actually reach them before they get to that critical state, to where it's touch and go, in either 24, 48 hours, we can lose them. But the miracle can still occur. But mission feeding, as you just heard, that's where we literally put the necessary nutritious ingredients, especially designed for that particular area of need. And we give them that porridge-like mix, and it turns everything around. In a matter of months, they're stabilized, their lives saved, their future secure. These beautiful bowls, they're heat resistant. In the bottom, it says life. That's precisely what is here, life. These bowls are an expression of love on the part of the viewers, just like you, who watch the children bring plastic bags, dirty, rusty cans, and when the hot porridge or soup mix went in, it would burn their little fingers. Sometimes they would hold those plastic bags and burn right through the bottom. And they would drop down in the dirt and start trying to get that soup up out of the dirt because they were desperate. You said, can't you give those precious little children bowls? The missionary said, no, we can't spend money on bowls when we've got to have food to save their lives. And our viewer said, we will. We love those children so much we'll not just give them food, but we're going to make it easier for them to get the food. They treasure those little bowls. It is a special gift of love that saves their lives, keeps their little hearts beating, gives them a future hope, gives them possibilities. We've taken people who were dying by the thousands, stabilized them, and showed them how to bring the old Portuguese farms back to life. The Portuguese left years ago from areas like Angola, but those farms were there. They just needed to be brought back to life. Now the people who were starving are growing food and feeding thousands of people themselves. They've learned how to live. We didn't just give them a fish. We taught them to fish. And it all starts with mission feeding. It saves lives. It gives lives. It gives them a future. I'm asking every person watching all over the world to go to the phone right now or go online, lifetoday.org. You can go there. Many people do that. And I'm thankful you do. And you make the best gift you can because you're giving the greatest gift, you're giving life. Your gift of $30, $50, or $100, we can feed 3, 5, or 10 children for the next months. $1,000, we can feed 100. At whatever level you can help, please do so. Would you do it right now? Mission feeding saves lives. You're the reason we have mission feeding. You're the reason it's even possible and sustainable. Please don't put this off. Go right now and make the gift God has put on your heart. We have special gifts to bless you as you bless others with the greatest gift, the gift of life.
At this very moment, a child is drawing his last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many, like him, face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can help save a life. Life's mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 400,000 suffering children in remote areas of Africa. With previous food reserves gone and parts of Africa facing its worst drought and food shortage in years, we desperately need to replenish our supplies immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we would like to send you a good word for a great day. A 365-day devotional providing an inspirational new word, Bible verse, and promise for each new day. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request the Family Reading Bible, featuring easy-to-use reading tracks, questions, and fun facts to help engage your children in God's Word. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the 50th anniversary commemorative bronze, Brotherly Love. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I pray with all my heart you won't let anything stop you from really expressing the heart of God. Make that call. You get busy, you'll be persistent and get through. Very important we have your help to put God's arms of love around these precious children and their families. What a blessing to have Dr. Carson. If you'd like to have this book, America the Beautiful, and you help us save lives, ask for it. We'll be glad to send it to you, along with other inspirational gifts that we've offered. Don't miss the conference, 18th to 20th of July. Go online and register. We want to see you there.
James and Betty Robison, July 18th through the 20th for the Awaken Now Conference at Gateway Church in South Lake, Texas, featuring inspiring speakers such as author and neurosurgeon Dr. Ben Carson, international Bible teacher and author Beth Moore, Pastor Robert Morris, author and speaker Christine King, and many more, including musical guests such as Phillips, Craig, and Dean. Register today for this once-in-a-lifetime event celebrating 50 years of ministry with James and Betty Robison. Go to lifetoday.org.
I gotta trust God. Period.
Tomorrow, Beth Moore reveals her worst fears and how God has set her free. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.